Hi, it's Elise.
Hey, y'all, it's Kaylin.
And welcome back to A Wild and Mindful Mess. This is season 3, episode 2. I've just had a ton going on, but I feel like the universe. Did I?
Are you just being dramatic? Fuck?
Am I being dramatic?
No, like this was horrible. I'm so glad that this is over. It's over. It's got to be over.
Yeah. I asked the universe for a break, for a breath. So, right when we were starting to get started again, after my mom passed and everything else, then I found out that I was losing my job, because the agency was going under. And so then I went into like this free fall of trying to find another job so I could keep my house and support my child. And so then I had to just take time off of everything and really focus on that. So I'm back. I was hired. I got hired into a great company, making $20,000 more a year than I was. They pay 100% insurance. So I'm just very, very, very lucky. I started dating someone.
Yay!
And he is awesome. We get along really well. And so things I think are starting to calm down. And so I'm ready to get back. So what is this episode about?
It is about loving yourself, but not like the corny, like, oh, I love myself. I'm my best friend. I believe in me. Not the stuff you tell your kid. Like, this is stuff that I tell my 2-year-old. Like, we're past that. we're past that point.
Yeah. Well, I just wanted to tell you and all of our listeners that I did some research on this one.
I'm so proud of her.
Because if I don't, Kaylin gets angry at me.
Not angry.
Irritated. Frustrated.
I'm not even going to call you what I call you up here. So basically, to me, like, we asked Instagram what self-love, because it's different for everyone. And yes, a lot of people have a very different perception and approach, I feel like, to loving their self. For a lot of people, I noticed that who answered me, it was all about like kind of self-care, or what I would consider self-care. But then I had a few people who really messaged me like their in-depth story about how they learned to love their self, which was kind of more what I was looking for. And I almost got up there today and I was like, okay, so the answers that y'all gave me yesterday sucked and I need more answers, because I didn't, because, you know, people don't know me like that. So, but, people have just been through a lot of shit basically and have come to a point. One's with their weight. Another one was with leaving religion. Leaving a marriage was another one. For me, loving myself has been through true healing after having Everly, actually. So, because I'm a totally different person now than I was then. So loving myself has involved me learning boundaries. And learning how to be vulnerable has actually been the hardest one for me. But loving myself to me equals not giving a fuck. Like, that is my ticket out of caring what people think. I'm going to tell you the truth and I don't care, because it's the truth. So why does it matter what you think of me? Because I am my true authentic self here and everywhere else. Right. Like, but it took a lot for me to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, oh, and I wanted to read, I'm going to read from my Bible. Not really. I'm going to read from the Stoics. Okay.
Okay.
The thing I sent you.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. If you are tempted to look outside yourself for approval, you have compromised your integrity. And if you need a witness, be your own. So to unpack that, where we are is if you need to seek validation from somewhere else, if someone else has to tell you that you are worthy, you've already fucked up. We got to back up. We need to rework this, because you should not need validation from the outside. You need to get that from yourself, because all about choosing yourself is going to be about validating yourself, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that was very hard for me to learn. And then if you need a witness, be your own. I think that's where honesty comes into play for me, like being very authentic. But that's also hard, because I feel like people judge me very, very harshly, because I am harsh, but still I'm honest, right? So it's okay.
Yeah. 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 I'll tell you, for me, this is something very new for me. And I'm only just learning about this in the last year of my life. You know me, I went to therapy and I actually got a therapist that really, really understood me and, you know, whatever. So I had a lot of a serious amount of trauma growing up. Right. And so a lot of it was physical abuse and, you know, not feeling loved by my parents. And, when that happens, you kind of feel like unlovable. Right. And so not only are your parents not protecting you or perhaps hurting you, whatever, you know, you just feel, I don't know, you just feel like you're less than human. You feel like you're scum. And, so I was constantly always trying to prove that I am worthy of love of anybody in my life, because they made me feel like I wasn't, you know? And, so that meant that I had absolutely no boundaries. That meant that, you know, I could not say no to anything. And I just kept trying over and over and over to prove that I'm worthy of that. And, then I spoke with my therapist a lot about it. We worked on it a lot and I am really working on my boundaries. So for me specifically, self-love is number one, boundaries, you know, and knowing that I am already worthy. I don't have to keep proving myself to everybody.
Right.
And number two, also that whatever happens to me externally from someone else does not take away who I am.
Right.
They did not change my spirit. And that is something I really learned. Like, it's always been me. They don't take that from me. So those are two of the things that I have learned on my journey to self-love.
Because you validate yourself, right? Like, you don't need anyone else's approval. And also, again, like that boundary, I feel like people assume that it's more like rules, basically. Like, my boundary is this, my boundaries are a set of rules that you're supposed, we've actually talked about this, that you're supposed to basically follow in order to be my friend or to be a part of my life. You have to follow my boundaries. So boundaries are for you. Boundaries are not for other people. It's for you to protect your feelings. Mm-hmm. It's for you to know when you need to pull out. Like, this is too much for me. I feel like I can't handle this in the way that I need to. So I'm going to, you're pushing me. You're pushing me, but I got to go. Like, and I feel like people get the two confused. You know what I mean? Like, it's your job to respect my boundaries. No. It's your job yourself to respect your own boundaries and you can walk away from that situation, but that's hard. But I mean,
it is hard, but you reminded me of that because we all know when I said, we all know, you and I know that when I'm going through a particularly hard time, that's when my boundaries start to like kind of collapse. Mm-hmm. And you reminded me that, you know, my boundary was like, if someone has an issue that has nothing to do with me.
Right.
And that's my boundary is like, no, that's on your shit. I'm good. I'm good. And that's my boundary. It's like, I am good. You and your moods or you and your issues with shit is not going to deal. I'm not going to deal with that. It just has nothing to do with me. But that was 40 years for me of thinking that it was always me.
Right. I heard something today that said the person that you are today is who you would have felt safe with as a child.
Oh shit. That's,
I know. I know. It's not. Yeah. And it's so true. It is so true. And the pandemic fucked me up. My mental health went to shit. Like, I joke about it up here, but like, y'all, it was horrible for me because I had to be still. I had to be home. I had to be quiet and I wasn't busy, busy, busy. And it was just me and my thoughts. And I have worked through so much, but fuck, I do not ever want to do this again. Like,
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. I mean, and you and I have had several talks, just in our friendship of how we do things and see things and what you need and what I need and how to compromise with that. And, you know, like kind of work on ourselves in that respect, you know,
I don't know if I told you this. I think it might've been Marcus. It was Marcus. I told this too. This was like, I don't even remember what, I don't know what was going wrong in your life. It was like I don't know, but like, I feel when Elise is struggling, like I feel it hard. Like I am her support friend person, even though I'm distant, even though I'm in a different state. So I feel these things hard, right? Like, and I have to be there for you. And it's hard for me to watch you go through this. And I told Marcus, I said, when I told Elise that she was going to teach me grace, I thought that it was going to be different than this. Like, it was supposed to be like you telling me, Kaylin, you're being a bitch. Like, you can't do this. But no, that's not what happened. It was like through experience that I had to learn grace, because I had to have it in order to allow myself to remain in this vulnerable friendship, because our friendship put me in a vulnerable place, because you wanted to know how to be the person that I needed in a friend. And mm-hmm. I have never experienced that before. And I never had a friend sit me down and is like, other than Chelsea ripped me a new asshole over this. That was phase one right there. But she just left it raw. But I didn't get it when people would say to me, like, you not talking about your feelings is basically giving the sign that I don't want to hear about yours. But I didn't know that. And it's hard because sharing makes me feel very like exposed, and it's not fun for me. And it's still hard, but at least now I know that my insides aren't as terrible as I was taught to believe that they were. And you know what? If they are, fuck off. I don't care. Don't talk to me. Like,
yeah, for me, you talking about your life, is just another way of being vulnerable. Like if we have, for me, a good friendship, a close friendship is being able to share that vulnerability, that part of your life. Also, I am not a taker in general. Like I am, you know, this, it's hard for me. So when I'm talking to you about my life and you're not talking to me about yours, I feel like a taker.
And that's what Chelsea said. But she did not, she was not nice about it, but she also had to deal with that.
Chelsea is also not a social worker and doesn't know how to communicate like that. True. You know? True. So,
and she'd been dealing with my shit for a lot. I felt like a lot longer. And I was probably mean because this was before I was on medication.
I mean, I was friends with you before you were on meds.
Oh yeah, that's right. Chelsea's just mean.
Y'all are mean to each other though. I feel
it's a very different relationship. It's very sisterly. Like, I think her dad knows when we fight, like, because I'm just like part of the family, but not there, but it's just a different, I love her. Like, I love her to the core, but also because we are vulnerable in our relationship, it brings a lot because she's been through a lot too. But I didn't know that because Chelsea doesn't share everything either, because that's hard. So yeah. I don't like it, but you do have to do it, I guess. Whatever.
Whatever. I'm like, I don't know that you have to do it in every single friendship that you have, but I think to have a few really close friends, I think you need to be able to share. And, you know, it's nice to be able to have an outlet.
Safe people.
Yeah. Yeah. And to have an outlet, like, I don't want to keep it all inside. I want to have at least one person I can say, listen, I'm having a fucking hard time right now. And just to tell, you know, I just need someone to talk to. Even, you know, I'm not looking for a solution. I just need someone to hear me. Like, because in my situation, I feel so alone sometimes.
Yeah.
That I feel like I just need someone to acknowledge my presence in the world, right? If that makes sense, because my 6-year-old is, you know, my 6-year-old, she's like, okay, I need you, but like, yeah. So for me, that's what's important. And while I'm not vulnerable with all of my friends, but there are a select few that I am very vulnerable with, and they are with me. And I think that makes a very close bond.
Well, like vulnerability, because you cannot exist as a human without being vulnerable. Everything that, you know, that is part of our experience you know, in this life is being vulnerable. That's how you cannot learn something new without being vulnerable, or, you know, you can't be in a relationship or a friendship without being vulnerable, because there's always a chance that you may not do well, or, you know, they may hurt your feelings or whatever. But I mean, we just have to be equipped to deal with it, I guess. And I think that's where, like, when we were talking about like what vulnerability really meant, I asked Marcus about it, and he said that it's like, what he thought vulnerability meant was, being scared or kind of fearful or treading lightly so that you're not the one who is more invested and you're not going to hurt worse, basically. And like, while I understand that part of it, that lets me know that it's because he's not there yet. He's in therapy, you know, still, and he is working on himself a lot, but he's doing this at age 42, and he talks to me about it. And like, I'm learning so much, like the details of it, but I feel like I've blocked so much of this stuff out. But he's in group therapy. So there's 8 of them, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why this therapy is working so well for him is because it is so open, and it is so, you're vulnerable and you're honest, and they tell everything in there. And it's just normal conversation. And that is what people need in relationships, whether it's friends or, you know, romantic relationships. Honesty is everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That's absolutely. I try to be as honest as possible. You know me.
Mm-hmm.
And so like, if something hurts my feelings, I'll tell mm-hmm. you if it hurts my feelings. If, you know, if I'm feeling a certain way about whatever, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable. Don't get me wrong. I've told you before, I've talked to you, in the context of dating, and I'm like, well, it hurt my feelings. And you're like, well, you should tell him. And I'm like, send you the cringe face emoji. Like, oh, that's scary though. It's scary.
It is very scary to tell people that. But see, for me, that is so funny. Okay. I just realized this. Like, for you, where you feel vulnerable is telling them how you feel. I feel vulnerable knowing how I feel. I will never tell them, because I don't feel vulnerable, because they do not hurt my feelings that way. Because you can't hurt my feelings.
Oh, yes.
Like, you can't say something mean enough to hurt my feelings unless I care about you or love you. Like, I'm not vulnerable to a stranger, because I don't care. These people are irrelevant, but yet
yeah.
So much, you know, affirmation from them, and they mean nothing to us. Like, why do we care? We care nothing about this person, you know, other than like just regular caring for another human. But why do we care what their opinion of us is? Like, that should not change our opinion of ourselves. It should not at all.
Agreed. Agreed. And that's, yeah, I definitely have been very, very good about not letting people's opinions, affect me outside of the people I really care or love about.
You're on social media, like you are big on social media. So you are very vulnerable. You have to have thick skin, because people say all kinds of shit to you, all kinds of out of pocket.
Yeah. Sometimes once in a while I'll share it when I think it's particularly funny, but a lot of times I don't, but I'll share them with you. I'll screenshot with you. And people are very mean
for no reason.
Yeah. For no reason.
What? Like, yeah. I mean, it's like personal stuff. Like, just like, they dig so deep, so much effort goes into being that hateful that it is just so, it is unfathomable to me. Like, I can't imagine.
This was one of my favorite ones. Some woman messaged me and said, "You're not a real single mom if you get child support."
Oh, that was my favorite.
And then Kay said, "Just tell her you don't fuck with broke ass men." To which I did respond, "I don't fuck with broke ass men." She never responded back to me. But it's true though.
Shut up.
It's like, child support. How much child support do you think men have to pay?
Like, not shit.
It's not shit. So his little child support doesn't do shit for me.
Nothing. Like, what? If your kid goes into like any kind of extracurricular activity, that's not like a split cost. That is like a mother's expense.
Yeah.
Is what that is. That's no longer covered by child support, because people don't understand child support is to support the child and their standard of living that has been established.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I don't, I mean, because your child should never have to downgrade their lifestyle because the parents are no longer together. That's did you hear that? Together.
Together. Yes. But, my favorite is when you say won't. I know you won't do that. Won't.
I know. But, and I use it wrong all the time. I use it wrong.
It's my favorite.
Jordan hates it.
No, I love it. I love it because I can hear you in my head when you say it. And I'm like, oh, that's, I mean, grammatically it is wrong, but it's, but it's also where you're from and how you talk. So I love it. It's my favorite thing in the whole world. But yeah, so I guess I get shitty messages often, which is funny because you would think that I am selling my daughter online to,
and you're like, that's the part for me is like, I don't know, like you'll do an ad here and there, but let me tell you right now, if I had a check mark beside my name, y'all wouldn't be able to tell me nothing because I'm going to make my money. I hope y'all know I would be making my money.
Like, yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
Like, that's but not what also, you do. Like,
but there's also like shitty families out there that are really putting so much like on their kids to like perform in front of the camera. Like, and I get that that is shitty, but you know, Felicity used to love to dance a lot and we used to do Flick Fridays. And then she stopped wanting to dance so much. And guess what? Then I don't say dance, you got to do it. No, she's going to live her fucking life. And for a while right now, she doesn't want to be too much in front of the camera. So I don't force her to be in front of the camera and that's okay.
Well, this is your account. Like that's the thing.
Like people that are like, I don't see Flick enough. And then there's people like that, like to hear from me more. It's, and there's people that say I use her for notoriety. I mean, everybody is, what do they say? Everybody has an asshole and an opinion. Right? Isn't that the saying? Something about assholes and opinions. So like, I don't give a fuck. So I don't care about any of those motherfuckers. Like, go ahead and say what you need to say, because that all stems from jealousy and envy.
Yes, that's the part.
Yeah,
but it's so wild to me though that you be like, before that you would need, like, you know, your self-worth was not there. You did not know your own worth.
No,
that you would allow yourself to be vulnerable like that to with strangers, like so many people. But like, I guess you had those fundamental, like, you know, you understood that value of these people don't matter completely, or you couldn't have put yourself out there that much.
At first, until I learned about things, I would get really upset if my followers were upset.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Once in a great while, it would be something ridiculous. I'm like, okay, that's fucking bullshit. But sometimes I would worry about like my followers being upset.
Is that why when I tell you about the people that block, like the amount of people who I've pissed off and like that have blocked me, you're like, oh my gosh, because that's not good, right? I'm such an asshole.
No. I just like, I always think like, what the hell are you doing out there that I don't know about? I mean, I'm sure I get blocked for sure, but I think I get blocked due to my beliefs in like equality for all, and they're racist and very conservative people. Okay. I get that, whatever, but
I don't know why they block me.
I don't know either. I mean, but anyway, now because I have learned self-love, I remember that they don't, it doesn't matter if they're upset, like they're not in my world.
And when they were telling you, like, you couldn't roast people, because the roast, I came to your Instagram for the roast, and then it was like, oh, we can't roast anyone anymore. Oh, and I was like, well, let me just leave.
You didn't leave though, asshole. No. I did. I was roasting people hard.
I think most
people loved it. Most people loved it.
Funny.
I should do that again, actually, because I really don't give two fucks nowadays.
And you deserve it. And you deserve it. If anyone deserves to roast people, it should be you at this point. Like,
people,
you know,
love
what?
The roast though. There's like two people that fucking hate it. One person like actually hated it so much that they gave me a bad review on this podcast. That's how much they hated the roasting. And
I'm always down for a good roast. The other day, yesterday on Instagram, I was talking about doing the podcast tonight, and I like zoomed in on my part because it was just a little peep. And I was like, oh, you like my part? Cause it was way over on the side, and they ripped me to shreds over that. It's a part, y'all.
I didn't see anything wrong with your part.
It was just really far over on the side.
I mean, I know it was, but like, I was just like, eh, whatever.
It's my cowlick.
But it's probably also because I feel like you would rip me a new asshole if I was like, hey, what do you think about this? You'd be like, nah, sometimes I think you pull back a little bit with me because you think you're going to hurt my feelings. You probably are a little more blunt with Chelsea and Jordan. So we're going to do a few parts to this topic of self-love. We want to know your thoughts about it. We want to know your questions about it. So hit us up on Instagram, or even in the Facebook group for Wild and Mindful Mess. You can join that, or you can go to the website, www.loveherleaveherwild.com, and you can leave any questions that you may have, or, you know, just what self-love means to you. And we'd like to continue this topic for the next couple of episodes. It was really great being back. I'm happy to be back. I'm happy to be talking about the things that are funny, but that matter. I met a lot of wonderful women a couple weeks ago that are now listening, and I want to say hi to them and welcome to the journey. And I will. Oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going to have any more dating stories for a while, but I'm going to pull some.
Yes,
out of
you
my,
are.
What you mean?
We want to know.
He's super, super funny.
Smart.
I learned so much from him. He can talk for like 45 minutes and I'll be completely interested in what he's saying. I won't repeat a lot of it because I've tried to with a few of my friends and they just think I'm the biggest fucking nerd ever, because I'm really into what he talks about for the most part. And, we have been friends for a year. And we just switched over to actually dating this past month. And I'm really happy. All right. Oh, so really? Hit us up and let us know about your self-love, your journey, or your questions about it. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.